Thanks to my colleague, Mike Perry, who is co-author on this presentation, An Emerging Architecture for Global Health Systems. So the question is, what does that have to do with NIN? Well, National Health Information Network Architecture, as many of you are probably aware, is now moving in direction of open standards, open source, and collaboration, and is essentially moving in the direction of what we see as the emerging architecture for global health systems. So, like everybody else, I have too many slides, so I'm just going to try and fly through this, and then you can come back and take a look at it at your leisure back at your office. We'll start with the business case. We'll discuss the grid, public health grids, obstacles to achieving them, and critical success factors such as SOA, service-oriented architecture, enterprise architecture, and collaborative development and governance. These lists are not going to be exhaustive. These are just examples to kind of hit some of the high points, but it's not everything. But the public health functional requirements, it needs to be, what we develop needs to be global, secure, scalable, timely, and agile. With reference to global, I found this wonderful quote, to me it's wonderful, on the Pragma site, which we'll come to later, that says, science is an intrinsically global activity. And so indeed is public health, as we all well know. So our work and the systems we build, how we approach public health, needs to be global. So what are the architectural characteristics that flow from that? We're talking about distributed systems, not a system that you or I might build in our own organization for our own use, but in collaboration with others across disciplines, organizations, and national boundaries, including dynamically assembled virtual communities, and we'll come to that too. Standards-based, obviously, ubiquitous technical standards, syntactic and semantic data interoperability using controlled data vocabularies, ontologies, CDA standard natural language processors, etc., for clinical observations. It needs to be federated, centrally managed in terms of standards and services and other aspects, but also locally controlled, that the sources of the data, they have control of their data. If we ever think we're going to be successful without respecting that, you have an awakening, and so do I. Federated is extremely important. Service-oriented, services instead of monolithic information silos that we're all way too familiar with. And supporting rapid assembly of data access, collaboration, analysis, and reporting services. And event-driven. Automated alerts triggered by rules engines, distributed, remotely programmable case detection, HL7 listeners, etc., on and on and on. So again, these are just examples, but these are some of the architectural characteristics that we need to address if we're going to be successful addressing today's public health needs. So what is the grid? We hear this thrown around a great deal. It's a form of distributed computing. You remember Scott McNeely years ago saying the network is the computer. In addition to this, the grid has another meaning too, a broader meaning, thanks to Dr. Ian Foster. It's also a virtual organization, a dynamic community of individuals or institutions using shared resources under agreed upon rules and conditions. So we have his definition Foster and Kesselman's definition of grid as super intranet. To be more concise, I'll just go straight to Dr. Ladowski-Berger at IBM, who refers to the grid as a virtual computer, the internet as virtual computer. So when you go to the internet, it's analogous to the World Wide Web. You go out there, you can get all of these text documents, and now you've got mashups and so on. They're just out there, ubiquitous standards, so anyone can develop resources to put out there. We're talking about the internet as virtual computer for high-performance computing, as well as the simpler kinds of services that are much more familiar. So health grid is just grid infrastructures and services applied to health and biomedical informatics. there seems to be, in fact, I was in a session yesterday afternoon where there was considerable confusion about the difference between semantic web, cloud computing, and grid computing. So I just threw down some explanatory information. The semantic web, as Tim Berners-Lee has defined it, is moving from a web of documents to a web of data, enabling navigation of data via their meanings and relationships as defined in the resource description framework, the OWL, which is the web ontology language, etc. So it enables automated navigation of data across the web. Cloud computing, at least in its initial meaning, was configurable virtual IT infrastructure, servers and storage primarily, as a service. So instead of you bothering to have to build the infrastructure and maintain it and all of that, you just outsource that and put your applications and services out there. So, but grid computing is really about high-performance computing services becoming part of the web services world. And I'm using these terms rather loosely because I didn't check with Tim Berners-Lee, but and I'll come to that a bit further, but it's the use of distributed, loosely coupled, heterogeneous computer resources as services. Under the technologically here paragraph, you'll see Tim Berners-Lee, Ian Foster's kind of definition. But organizationally, in the broader sense of just a virtual community, it's coordinated resource sharing and problem solving in dynamic, multi-institutional virtual organizations. Standards leadership by the Open Grid Forum, among others, but particularly by them, and OGSA, the Open Grid Services Architecture, for reference, and then functional types, initially computational. And now we have data grids and knowledge grids that use ontologies, et cetera. There are some who say collaboration grids, but collaboration, I think, is just part of the mix. The evolution of the Internet, just for further background, for those who are in the science domain and all of this techno-speak is kind of not that familiar. We're all familiar with the beginning of the Internet with DARPA, the network infrastructure, the World Wide Web with standards-based platform independent document distribution, and then web services where there are standards that enable computer-to-computer interactions across a network, across heterogeneous technical platforms, and that's very important, using universal standards, WSDL, SOAP, XML, etc. And then we come to Web 2.0, the web as platform. A lot of folks have coined that phrase. Battelle and O'Reilly seem to be stuck with having been the originators of it. But anyway, mashups, social networking, wikis, where you start to pull together different services on the web to use them in ways that weren't intended initially. And grid services now come along, internet-based distributed computing using grid technologies, computer resource-intensive web services. So I'm having the audacity to suggest that Web 3.0 isn't merely about automated data navigation using ontologies and all of that. I'm suggesting that Web 3.0 is internet as virtual computer with access to web services ecosystems that include high-performance computing services, at this time based on grid technologies, as implied in other or stated in other sessions. Who knows what other technical platforms will come along in the next several years. And grid technologies are open-source-based middleware platforms and services that enable secure ecosystems of powerful grid services. Their origins is in the particle physics research community, just was the World Wide Web. The Globus Toolkit is a predominant technical platform. Others are G-Lite that provides a framework for building grid applications, and Unicore that gives access to supercomputer and computer clusters. Grid technology standards and web services, the good news is, they are converging. The standards in the purely web service domain that's been around for over 12 years or more, and the grid technology standards are converging. And it differs from cluster computing because cluster computing is tightly coupled and typically a homogeneous platform in one location, et cetera. And that's not what we're talking about with grid. It's new, it's immature, but there are major grid initiatives. As you can see here, the EU Health Grid Association, Health Grid Alliance, DESA, EGEE, et cetera, and I've given just a little bit of information about what the focus of each of these initiatives are. The list is much longer than this, but I just wanted to give you a general idea. DOE, NASA, the National Science Foundation, et cetera. Our own in NICV, the PH Grid initiative in our R&D lab, et cetera. And there are links to sites so you can track down. This is not smoke and mirrors. This is real. Architecting distributed systems. This is where we come to NIN, the National Health Information Network. You know that the NIN Connect Gateway now, in the past year, has moved to an open source platform enabling federal agencies to securely link their existing systems to the NIN using web services. Some of those web services are going to be grid technology based, but it doesn't really matter what the platform is. We're talking about heterogeneous platform support, especially as the web standards and grid technology standards converge. It won't matter. It's just more services out there. Some of them will happen to deliver high performance computing or massive storage usage, et cetera. And those will be grid technology based in the foreseeable future. The Public Health Information Network, which is the public health portion of the National Health Information Network, will be moving in that direction, I predict. That's my opinion. The PH grid, there's been a presentation here, or more than one, and this is the initiative in the NICV's R&D lab. And the Global Open Health Grid is a proposed WHO initiative to enable rapid global data exchange, analysis, collaboration, and reporting across health domains, clinical research, public health. And note that the National Health Information Network, how does it differ from FIN? Well, for those of you who don't happen to know, probably all of you do, it's to connect clinical to public health, ultimately. That's what distinguishes it from FIN, which is public health, bringing public health to clinical through the NIN. So what's it look like? Here's an example, a visualization of how we see a global open health grid. There are various services, alerting vocabulary, influenza, AIDS data, various data services, AIDS, malaria, et cetera, analytical services, EpiInfo, et cetera, whatever kinds of services are out there in that ecosystem, you can go out and pull down just like you can go out on the web now and pull down what you want. And various user types, et cetera. This is just an example. And here's an example of how an ecosystem of that kind is built. You have a process over on the right there, a strategy group that defines the strategic plan and principles within a particular domain, an architecture group that kind of blueprints that so that it helps guide folks who are developing services, including data, et cetera. And interoperability reviews to ensure that when a service goes out there for use, it's going to work and it will meet service level agreements, et cetera. So you've got a standards group. And a service development kit for making it easy to develop services to deploy out there in that ecosystem. So you can come back and review that later. But this is just a conceptual visualization of a services ecosystem that contains multiple services that serve public health purposes. So, web services that you're already familiar with, some of you are aware of the fact that you can dynamically create customized applications in a portal by just selecting services that are exposed in a registry and then drag and drop and then launch them and feed data and processing through those services. So that's already available, and we're just saying that with grid services you'll be able to, for example, in this case you have a federated query to pull in age-adjusted rate data for a mortality count process that results in a time series graph and GIS mapping by country services. I'm not sure these arrows are working in the sequence. They should, but in any event, you're feeding mortality case data to those services and then producing the output here. what I'm trying to represent here is we're talking about the shift from developing siloed applications, and those of you who've tried to participate in emergency response events where there's this massive effort to pull some data out of one system, out of this system, out of that system, and then manually integrate it because you can't pull the information together. If the processing logic and access to data in each of those systems is exposed as a web service that can be pulled down, thank you, then you can you have the agility to dynamically build the application you need to address that specific event. And that's where we're headed. Obstacles, areas requiring progress. Number one, by far, organizational culture and human nature, not technology, are the greatest obstacles. We know this. We've seen it. And then I'd like to refer you to the EU Share project. There's a link there that goes into the technical and policy. I call them policy. They refer to as ethical, legal, social, and economic. But there are many, many issues. There are a lot of obstacles in the way. This will not be easy. The Health Metrics Network, there's one gentleman here, John Cutler, who is one of the leaders in the Health Metrics Network, to bring a framework, a standard framework, international framework, to the country level for getting helping countries to have a country-level driven effort to start to move towards interoperability. That's extremely important, and GRID can contribute to that effort. Critical success factors, service-oriented architecture. I'll let you read this later. But essentially, it's about building services that you can expose on the web that can be dynamically assembled and orchestrated in a portal instead of siloed applications. SOA is an architectural pattern. EA is a process. And essentially, enterprise architecture provides holistic views that guide coordination across architectural views and technical and scientific disciplines. That facilitates collaboration across functional and organizational boundaries. So it's top-down in some respects. I won't go into that because I don't have time. Collaboration methodology. Without collaboration, we're toast. So I list some key characteristics that you can go back to later since time is about up. What I do want to say about collaboration, most importantly, is that what we're achieving separately is a mere fraction of what we could achieve collaboratively. A mere fraction. So small it's hard to calculate. And it's time we get on with it and learn to work together as human beings. Forgive me for my editorializing, but it's such a struggle to get people to open up and work together. So I welcome all of you because we all understand here that we need to leverage expertise wherever it is on the globe and resources. And when we do that well, the problems that confront us, whether it's public health or any other kind of problem we got, our problems are self-created, and we can solve them if we only learn to work together. And my thanks again to HMN folks at WHO. What happens if you don't work together, if you don't plan? There's a nice little Escher visualization of what happens. Everybody gets something built that they could be proud of, but it doesn't work together. Who's doing it? CA Big is just one example amongst many. There's the website. That's Cancer Bioinformatics Grid. Here's a breakdown into how they weave together cross-cutting workspaces such as vocabulary, common data elements, enterprise architecture with the functional domains that are specific to cancer bioinformatics work. And here's just an example of a workflow in terms of governance for how you produce services that are going to work together to achieve the objective of interoperability. So forgive me for my heated little editorializing, but I am so passionate about us finally working together because we've got such incredible expertise all around this planet. And if we just put our egos aside, our institutional and cultural biases aside, and just jump in and welcome the opportunity to work together, it will be amazing what we can accomplish. Thank you.
Well, don't go away, John. We may have some questions.
That's why I'm running.
Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Please stand up and let us know who you are. And speak loudly so we can hear you over the fan of the machine here.
That's an excellent question. And one of my slides, or a couple of the slides that go into collaboration methodology, fortunately, we don't have to figure out how to do that. The open source community has perfected that over the past at least 15 to 20 years, the Apache Foundation, Linux, and on and on. And I have, as an example, the Cancer Bioinformatics Grid community, because theirs is a perfect example of how you can manage that in the public health domain. But it's difficult. It's very complex. If you go to the cancer, the CA Big website, if you just go out to Google and type in CA small letters and then capital, followed immediately by B-I-G capital letters, you'll go straight. You'll find their website, and you'll start to get a sense of that. But yeah, it's not easy. It's very difficult, but best practices are well established and being applied all over the planet, and CA Big is a good public health domain to take a look at it. Yeah, Joel?
Yeah, Joel Greenspan, Atlanta, Georgia. I wonder if I wouldn't be putting you on the spot if I asked you, based on this evolving, emerging architecture, how would we be dealing with an H1N1 pandemic in the United States global public health system differently using this as the informatics platform?
Wow. Well, let me say first of all that essentially it's kind of like trying to rebuild a plane in flight. For one thing, the infectious disease people, and especially those who are on the front lines, the CDC's Epidemiology and Prevention Branch, are expert. They've been at this for a long time. They have data sources they know and can trust. They know the meaning of the value of the data. And so in the heat of an impending potential crisis, they're not going to have a whole lot of time to walk away from what they know works to try a lot of new things. So what we're talking about is long term. If you can imagine the difficulty of trying to come up with all the information that you need. For example, let's say there's an outbreak of H1N1 in Vietnam. How quickly are we aware of it? Are we aware of it quickly enough to do quarantine so it doesn't spread? Vitally important. Do we have the means to do that, to know, to be aware of it, and to act quickly? Right now, we don't. We certainly do not. There are people working on developing services, in this case, grid-based services. Vincent Breton, who's presenting at this very time in another room, has developed molecular epidemiology and in silico modeling grid-based services for tracking the evolution of viruses and then doing the modeling in computers to more rapidly identify what needs to be done in terms of the vaccines that will most perfectly address the latest state of that virus. Now, this is new, and there's a lot of work to be done. There are probably folks, I spoke to one yesterday, who points out, well, you can't really rely on that. We're working towards that goal of being able to pull services down that are needed and respond quickly.
Let's take one more short question and answer.
Okay. On the principle of build information systems, we've got it from the top down, you build it from the bottom up, and the issue impact, bringing it back to the United States and it to local public health, let's say Berkeley County. County, North Carolina, the local public health entities there. Web services initially, from my understanding, takes a lot of resources to develop. And the local public, what has the resources for human resources needed for states, local communities, has that been addressed with this strategic move and to give them time and information on how to leverage the existing resources, not lose their investments as we move forward?
Yeah, good question. And ultimately, this needs to be driven by the needs of the people on the front lines of public health, local public health, state public health, but especially local public health and clinical settings and all that.
And the resources they need.
Yeah, and well, the logic of moving toward this emerging architecture is that, first of all, wherever, who has the resources and the expertise to produce services puts it out there, just like the World Wide Web just exploded with everyone putting things out there. And then secondly, it needs to be easy to use by people on the front lines of public health.
Thanks.